come to get into the message. So we're going through Revelation chapter 19. Revelation 19. And the verses at hand, 17 through 21, give us the Lord's final judgment. He's finalizing his judgment. He's dealing with all the loose ends relative to judgment. And already back there in chapter 17 and 18, 17, he dealt with religious Babylon and he judged religious Babylon. In chapter 18, he judged economic Babylon. All right, so we've got the Babylonianism being judged in 17 and 18. Now in chapter 19, he's going to be dealing with the persons who are involved in all of this. And so we will look at this passage. So let's read this together in unison. So we're picking it up in Revelation chapter 19 and verses 17 through 21. All right, here we go. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth, and their armies, gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. All right, let's pray. Our Father, we praise thee that we can meet here in this house once again, this assembly house. Thank thee for your blessings upon us. We pray that you'll bless now as the word of God goes forth. Help it to run freely in our hearts. Pray for each one here that will have a better understanding of the future. Make sure that we ourselves are prepared and then that we can help and warn others as well. We pray that you'll bless our time now in the word of God. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, here we have in chapter 19 then, as I mentioned, his final judgment. If you look back there in chapter 16, for instance, 16, right about verse 17, but 16 deals with the final vile judgments and the seventh vile judgment for that matter. And notice it says in 16:17, and the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. You see that? It is done. So the Lord has declared he has taken care of judging the wicked of the world. So this passage parallels with our chapter 19 passage. It is done. It is done has details being brought out here in chapter 19. Now, in the passage, several points of observation. First of all, we notice this is the second feast in this chapter, second supper. Verse 19:17 says, gather yourselves together unto the supper. This supper is in contrast with the earlier supper. If you look back there in verse 9, there's the marriage supper. So notice two suppers are brought out in this chapter. There's the marriage supper of the bride. And I believe that marriage supper is going to be depicted all the way through the millennium as we will have festivities with the Lord, we who are resurrected for certainly the first 1,000 years of eternity. But the marriage supper of the Lamb mentioned there. But this is a different supper. And by the way, the message might be, to what supper are you headed? Are you headed to the marriage supper? Or to this supper in which fowls are going to consume the flesh of mankind and those destroyed in the Battle of Armageddon. It's significant that the fowls, we're told here, are going to eat man. Now, several interesting themes here. Fowls are going to have victory over man. Fowls are going to consume men. Back there in the garden, we had Adam and Eve. They had dominion over all the animals. And yet one that over whom they had dominion led to their downfall, the snake, the serpent. And so the serpent tempted Adam and Eve to eat. So here, the lesser creature tempts man to eat. In this passage, the lesser creature is going to eat man. So we see some parallels here. And now who has the dominion? See, man gave up his dominion when he surrendered to the serpent. And this is going to be played out now. Man doesn't have dominion over the fowls. The fowls are going to be consuming man, unsaved man here. So we see some parallels that go on here. Furthermore, this is based on an Old Testament teaching here, or a prophecy. If you look in Ezekiel chapter 39, now Ezekiel 39 is talking about the Gog-Magog uprising, which I believe is going to occur before the tribulation. So the actual fulfillment of Gog-Magog is not what we have in chapter 19 of Revelation, but there's a parallel. If you look back there in Ezekiel 39, you see in verse 4, for instance, the defeat of Gog comes about when the Lord says, "Thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands and thy people that is with thee, and I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort and to the beast of the field to be devoured." So here the Lord's going to destroy these in the Gog-Magog uprising prior to the midpoint of the tribulation. He's going to destroy them with birds that will eat their flesh as they're killed, as the Lord kills them, and the birds will eat them. In this passage, this is at the end of the tribulation, the Battle of Armageddon, and the multitudes are going to come together, and the Lord is going to destroy the armies of the world and send the fowls in to eat their flesh. So that's some of the overview here. Now, some of those that are involved in some of the so-called prophecy experts that are everywhere on the internet and TV and so on, so most of them you don't need to listen to. But anyway, the prophecy experts say the vultures are increasing in Israel. This is one of the signs of the rapture. The vultures are increasing. It's a sign. Well, there's no signs for the rapture. And so whatever the population of vultures and fowls are in Israel has nothing to do with the second coming of Christ. He'll raise up these birds to take care of the flesh at the appropriate time. So we don't need to listen to the prophecy experts about one more sign. All right, now, as we look at the passage that we have here at hand, certainly the message is, it is done, the Lord's final judgment. And as I break this down, I see his final judgment, first of all, on royalty, in verse 18, and then on rebels, 19 through 20, and then finally on the remnant. So his final judgment. So let's look at this as there is a call to the supper to see what is going to happen. Now, first of all, John indicates in verse 17, he saw an angel. "I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice." So here, an angel standing in the sun. Now, you Greek students will appreciate that, but the word behind "and" there is one, the number one. And quite often one is used as almost an indefinite article. An angel, one angel, literally what it says, one angel stand. But here's an angel standing in the sun. Now, if you wanted to get a worldwide message across to mankind, The whole world sees the sun regularly. That'd be a good place to stand to get a worldwide message, right? The sun. Now, it's not that the sun is in the center of everything, but it is a focal point. And you would see an angel standing in the sun, and he has a loud voice. So, obviously, he has a worldwide platform to get across the message, and the message is, come to the supper. Come to the supper. All right, well, the supper depicts the Lord's final judgment on wickedness and his final judgment on the wickedness that has been leveled against Bible believers through the centuries. All the way back to Abel forward, all the judgments and all the sin that has been leveled against believers now is going to be finalized by the Lord. And so certainly one point here is that we can realize, because it may be that some people who are causing us problems right now may live 7 years forward and be at the Battle of Armageddon to be destroyed by the Lord. So we have to keep that in mind. If there are unbelievers who are giving you difficulty because you're a Christian, they may be thrown into this. See, we believe in an imminent return of Christ. And so this could happen at any time. Some of these, as we've been talking here, some of these folks, they're trying to clamp down on homeschoolers here and make sure none of them are mentally disturbed by being taught Christian truths. Some of these folks, the Lord comes back, may be in that battle of Armageddon, you see. So whatever the difficulties that we face as believers, there's a potential that they may be in this supper, and they may be the main dish in the supper. All right, so let's look here in verse 18. First of all, we see final judgment on royalty, as the way I've tried to express this. Verse 18 says that they may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men. So notice all the world leaders are going to be there. And the flesh of horses. Now, they're not going to be riding around in army tanks by this time, because there's not going to be any fuel available, I don't think. So they're going to be on horses. And them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. So every level of society. But it starts off with the rich. Now notice, in this passage, there seems to be a focus on flesh. How many times is flesh found here? Five times. Five times in this passage, flesh. In other words, a pretty clear message here. These fowls are going to come and consume the flesh of all of these royalties and their horses and everybody involved in this battle of Armageddon, because the Lord is going to destroy them. He's going to stop them. He's going to thoroughly stop them. Now, we've looked at several passages before, but if you look there in Zechariah chapter 14, so this is a one we go to just about every time we're here in Revelation 19. Zechariah 14 talks about the day of the Lord, the tribulation time, as well as the millennium. Zechariah 14 gives us the background. When the nations, 14:2, and I will gather all nations against Israel to battle. So the Lord is going to gather them. He purposefully is going to allow all the nations from the four directions to come and gather around Jerusalem. And so they're apparently going to move down south from Megiddo down to Jerusalem right at the tail end of the tribulation. And then verse 4 we see Scripture says, that he's going to come back, and his feet shall stand in that day on the Mount of Olives. And from there, there's going to be an earthquake. There's going to be some geographical changes and so on. But notice, as we look at verse 12, and this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. Their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth, and so on. So the Lord is going to destroy these folks, kill them, and then presumably enough flesh there for the birds to eat as they're destroyed before him. So here we see his final judgment on the leaders, the royalty of the world, and he's going to bring this to pass. Now, the kings here would be those, no doubt, that were alluded to in several places, Daniel chapter 11, and earlier in Revelation chapter 13, the kings of the four directions, or at least three other directions. And then there would be the 10 federation nation as well that identify with the Antichrist. So all these individuals are going to be destroyed there. All right, so first of all, then we see the final judgment on royalty. Then secondly, we see final judgment on the rebels in verses 19 and 20. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him and sat on the horse, that sat on the horse, and against his army. Now, first of all, let's look at that word army at the tail end of the verse. Against his army. That's in the singular, you'll notice. But as I mentioned several weeks ago, back there in verse 14, when the Lord comes back, it says, and the armies which were in heaven followed him. There is plural. See, so the armies in heaven, I believe, constitute both the resurrected New Testament saints and the resurrected Old Testament saints and the resurrected tribulation saints, martyrs. And so we're going to have New Testament saints and tribulation and Old Testament saints who are obviously dead and resurrected, making up the armies. So the Lord's going to bring together his armies, plural. But now as they fight against the Antichrist, these armies are going to become one army. See that? So we go from several armies, Old Testament, New Testament saints, distinct. But now they're going to be one army, unified, fighting against the Antichrist. And so let's go back to verse 19. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Now, we're going to be there. We're going to be on white horses, the scripture tells us. So I take these passages literally. And there's only going to be one weapon, only one person with one weapon. That's the Lord, and the weapon's going to be the word of his mouth. So we're going to be in his army, but we're going to be observing. We're not going to have any weapons because we're not going to need any weapons. His weapon is sufficient there. And so just as when we trusted Christ, we believed in his work on the cross and his shed blood and sacrifice on the cross so that we don't have to sacrifice and bleed because we trusted him. Likewise, we're going to identify with him vicariously as he defeats the enemy, but we are there and we're going to have him as our representation. So he's going to fight the fight, but we're part of his army. And that's an army that's not going to lose. And we're going to participate in this because we're going to see him destroy all those who have made difficulty for us through the centuries. All right, so that's verse 19. Verse 20, and the beast, so here's rebel number one, or maybe he's number two. But anyway, the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. Now notice the focus here on the false prophet. John goes into great detail. He's the one who wrought miracles. So during the tribulation time, there will be supernatural miracles, signs, all kinds of things going on. They will be those of the nature of deception, and those who receive the mark of the beast will be deceived by the miracles and those that worship his image. So here's a very emphatic statement on who the false prophet is. I believe he will be the religious leader, and the Antichrist will be the beast, he'll be the political leader, maybe economic leader. And so these two working together will be able to engulf the whole world to a certain degree. Now notice in verse 20, it says, these both, beast and false prophet, were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Notice, cast alive into the lake of fire. Now, the lake of fire is the ultimate destiny of all unbelievers. In chapter 20, we see more about that, but death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the ultimate destiny. And it's fire burning with brimstone. Brimstone be something like sulfur, so it's going to be a heavy, choking, a difficult gas-like substance that associated with the lake of fire, and so it'll be certainly very painful. But notice now, with the beast and the false prophet, who will be two men, who no doubt will be demon-possessed, these two men will not be judged as will be the rest of the unsaved. The unsaved in chapter 20 will be judged when the books are opened there and so on, and they will be judged and then sent into the lake of fire appropriately based on their amount of light and rejection and so on. But not with these two. These two will forego any judgment, and they will be cast to the lake of fire, and I believe they will be cast into the most hottest place, or hottest place in the lake of fire. Hence, there's no judgment for them. I mean, they are the worst of the worst. They're going to be at the center of the focus of the worst judgment possible. And, of course, Satan will be join them later on. So, no judgment for them. You see that? They don't die, and they don't receive standing at the judgment seat, or the great white throne judgment. They'll be cast alive into the lake of fire. And so the Lord will deal with these two. The beast and the false prophet. These will be the epitome of sin through the ages. Of course, the beast will be the Antichrist. This will be the culmination of the Christ-Antichrist conflict that's been going on since Genesis 3:15. If you look back there in Genesis 3:15, you're probably familiar with the passage, but notice at the beginning, here in the garden, the Lord says in Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Enmity is this hatred and warring attitude between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, it or he shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So here in this cryptic verse, we see the ultimate conflict, Antichrist against Christ, as it's going to be played out. And he addresses the serpent, but he goes beyond the serpent to the evil personage behind the serpent. Who's that? The devil. And so the devil and his emissary here is going to be have his head bruised. And, of course, Satan will bruise his heel, probably a picture of the cross. But a head blow, here's going to be a final blow. So here is the cryptic beginning of all this. It's going to culminate here in the tribulation when Christ throws the Antichrist into the lake of fire. That concludes the Antichrist-Christ conflict, the enmity here. That concludes the spirit of Antichrist that John talks about. And so Lord will have the ultimate victory here. And we'll be there on our white horses watching this ultimate victory. So this will be a very dramatic time in all of human history, to be sure. So we see final judgment on royalty. Secondly, final judgment on the rebels. And thirdly, final judgment on the remnant. Anybody left over? Anybody left over? Well, the remnant. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse. That's Christ. Which sword proceedeth out of his mouth? Only one sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. And so this is going to be a very thorough judgment on the wicked. And the fowls are going to be filled. So this shows the complete judgment here. Absolute complete judgment, because the fowls will be filled with their flesh. So chapter 19 brings an end to the Lord's judgment on the wickedness of mankind. So we've seen this in a set of series. We worked our way through the seven seals, the seven trumpets, now the seven vials. And here the last judgment of the seventh vial is the Battle of Armageddon, the Lord's final destruction here of all the leaders and these two rebels, to be sure. And then any remaining remnant will all be destroyed. And then chapter 20, we're going to see one last remaining person that needs to be dealt with. That's Satan. And he's going to be dealt with. He's going to be imprisoned for 1,000 years. Then he's going to be released. And then he'll only be judged as well. And so here we see how the Lord is rectifying everything and all the injustice through the ages. So all of us as Christians, we've been faced with injustice from time to time, and things haven't been done right to us for one reason or another, but because we're believers, and we might think, the world just gets away with it. And how much longer do I have to put up with this? That they get by with everything, and I'm always mistreated because I'm a Christian, and there's no justice in this world, is there? Is there any justice in this world? Well, here it is. The Lord's going to finish everything up. He's going to rectify everything, and he's going to do it his way, and it's going to be dramatic worldwide. Everybody will be looking on. So just have patience. Have patience with him and realize how things are going to work out. We see how they're going to work out. All right, let's finish with prayer. Our Father, we praise thee for this time that we've had to study the book of Revelation thus far. We thank thee for giving us this encouragement that you're going to do everything and do everything right in dealing with the wrongs of the world. We pray that you'll help us to have patience and look forward to this and be encouraged by the Word of God as we go through our difficulties. Bless our assembly here and bless in the remainder of the service now, we pray, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.